There's so much to talk about.
Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everybody. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Becca.
Are you ready to scrub in?
I am always ready to scrub in.
You're ready to scrub in because you went to sleep at 7:30 p.m. last night.
Totally went to bed at 7:30 p.m. It was the craziest thing ever.
Why? How?
I honestly have no idea. I didn't set my alarm to wake up this morning and somehow woke up and made it to work on time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you just fell asleep. I
was watching. I actually restarted Grey's Anatomy from season one, episode one.
Okay. This is, I was going to bring this
because,
up.
Because I just wanted like a happy feeling last night. Well, like I just needed a happy feeling. And I just know that specific episode makes me so happy.
Okay. The first one ever.
The pilot.
Here's what I want to know.
But it made me fall asleep, and then I was gone at 7:30. I looked at my phone. I had like 30 text messages. I was like, wow.
Wouldn't it be so sad if you went to bed at 7:30 and woke up with no texts? Like, that's happened to me before.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably standard for me.
No. How many times have you restarted Grace? And how many times have you restarted Grace? And then how far do you get before you restart? Because
respect.
This
respect.
Happens a lot, though.
Yeah.
I enjoy the beginning season so much that I just like, I get to season six and then I kind of go back.
I've done it with Walking Dead 3 times.
Yeah. But you did it with, you sent me a picture of like Henry the other day. So that was season
I was in like five. Eight? No.
No.
Who's Henry?
Scott Foley.
Yeah. Oh.
That's like season 8 or 9.
Oh, I usually get about there and then I go back.
Okay, so you don't go to season five. You go pretty far in.
I guess so. They all kind of blend
together.
I think we should
all start younger again, too.
I never finished it. Oh. I never, like, could really invest myself in it.
That doesn't make sense.
It's just like the story of my life. What can I invest
myself? And I think we should all start Sex and the City again over the holidays. I think we should all go back to Sex and the City episode one and really take it in. Take it in, because that is life lessons coming at us.
Yeah, it is different because when I first watched Sex and City, I was like 21 or like, no, when I was in high school, I was like 16 or something. Now watching it back, I'm like, wait, I'm actually like literally living this right now.
I've been watching old Dawson's Creek episodes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's like there's lava lamps and butterfly hair clips. It's actually very nostalgic.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. I really only like the seasons where Pacey and Joey are together because I was never a huge Dawson fan. It should have been Pacey's Creek, in my opinion. Doesn't have the same ring to it, though.
Pacey's Creek.
Are there any updates in the...
I just thought of something. Oh, my God. A show that y'all must watch.
What?
The Affair. It's Pacey.
Oh.
And it is... Have you watched it, Mark?
No.
Oh.
What network is it on?
Showtime, but it's on your
Hulu?
Not Hulu.
Netflix.
Some kind of pay.
Okay.
Pay thing.
Pay as you go.
HBO
It
go?
Is adult.
Oh. Sexy times.
Yes.
Scandalous times.
It's amazing, though, quickly, and because I know we have to move on. It's an hour-long show, 30 minutes, 30 minutes. Her perspective, his perspective.
Oh.
It's super fascinating because essentially it's supposed to be the same thing.
Story, right.
And the way that two people see it so differently makes me realize why relationships are so complicated.
Right.
Interesting.
Right.
It's
you know that movie, Something Borrowed, Something Blue? It's like it was with Kate Hudson.
It's
and
Something Borrowed.
Oh, something. No, it's a book series. And the first one's called Something Borrowed. The second one's called Something Blue. And it's told from each of the same story from each different perspective. So like the first one was Kate Hudson or Jennifer Goodwin. And then each story, and then one's the guy's perspective. And it's so interesting to see how they all see the same situation and different.
Why didn't they make movies for the other one?
Because I think the first one didn't do good.
I Googled it because I think the first one kind of bombed, but I weirdly Googled it the other day. Like, are they going to make another one? And it said maybe.
Yeah, well, I don't think the movie did well.
I'm pretty easy to please when it comes to romantic comedies.
I loved it too. I thought he was going to really be a big star. What's his face?
Yeah, oh, Colin
Egglesfield.
Egglesfield, yeah.
Okay. I was watching, you know, like I was watching like Made in Manhattan the other day, and I miss like the simplicity of a chick flick. Now I feel like they try to make it too realistic of like what really happens in life, and it's like, I don't go to the movies for that.
I know.
I go to escape this.
Made in Manhattan is so good.
Classic. J-Lo
and Monster-in-Law.
Good one.
Good one.
Are we naming all our J-Lo fans? Remember when she did that intense one, Enough?
I never
where she was
that.
Like the
oh, yeah,
abuse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Billy Campbell, and she was like got so tough and badass.
Oh, she was, what
like,
was the other one trained? That she was in with Matthew McConaughey?
Wedding Planner.
Wedding Planner.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the best, one of the
Are
best
Are you
of
Nancy
all
Pong? I'd love to let you borrow some sugar, but I don't have any because I don't have time to shop. Come on, that's the best line in the whole movie.
I don't know.
I don't remember that.
I just remember Matthew McConaughey talking to her when she's like leaning up against the door frame and she has like tears and he's like, I can't remember what
I
he know, says.
I know. Remember they roasted marshmallows over a candle.
Yes.
Oh, I could die for Matthew McConaughey.
No, back those days. Okay, so I want to get to Jingle Ball, but first I want to talk about any boy updates we have. So you texted Dr. Slava.
Yeah, last week around this time, I was feeling really empowered.
Liberated. Free, like, free, I am woman.
Hear me roar. Yeah. In case you missed it, the Cliff Notes version is I met a guy at a family gathering of my parents through a family party. I thought we hit it off. We talked the whole night. He's cute, smart, doctor. We call him Dr. Slava. And he asked me for my Facebook, and I was like, oh, asked me for my Instagram, and I was like, oh. So I took matters into my own hands, and I found his number, and I texted him, and I said, hey, hope, you know, got your number, hope you don't mind, would love to get a drink with you next time you're in the area. He responded, it's totally okay, sounds great, love to catch a drink, and I was feeling flying high last Monday. It's been about a week. Crickets.
But
no response, no plan, no date.
You give me it again. I need to know exactly. Can I see your phone? Like, I need to know exactly what happened because I think he might be waiting on you.
No.
Can we explain? His name's Dr. Slava because the family gathering
they
had is called a Slava.
It was my Slava, yes.
It's not saliva. Just, I don't know why I'm the only one who's had a problem with this, but.
Yeah, just Dr. Slava. But so I had.
You could write again.
Okay, well.
Yeah, she could. Because
but
why
I,
not?
I feel like I made the first bold move here, so it's up to him to
why?
Like. Okay, so I had a little bit of an epiphany over the weekend, thanks to Robert. I explained the situation to Robert, guy's perspective, and he said it sounds like he's seeing someone.
No, I don't. Where do you get that?
Which is why he asked you for your Facebook. He didn't ask you for your number.
No.
And yeah, that sounds so right, don't you think?
Read the text.
I don't.
Read it word for word, because I'm getting a very different vibe.
Hi, Dr. Slava. I got your number. Hope that's okay. Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. I'd love to get a drink next time you're on the West Side. And he said, it's totally okay. And yes, I'd love to catch a drink. We can stay in touch over the coming week and play it by ear. Happy Thanksgiving. And I said, sounds great. Let me know.
How far away does he live from where you live?
2 miles? No. How far is...
Oh,
I'm going to say where he lives.
He doesn't live an hour away?
No.
Oh, no. Like, well, I would say
that's
like 30 minutes or 45
okay,
minutes.
45 yeah. minutes.
Hour.
2 miles.
Of traffic an hour.
He could have maybe lost his phone.
Okay. I don't, this feels like he's just not that into you.
I feel like you throw one more Hail Mary. Why not?
But what I love about Tanya is that never occurs to her that he's not into her. She's like, maybe he lost his phone. Maybe he was attacked by a bear. Maybe he moved to another country. Like, it would never occur to her that, yeah, he's just not feeling it.
Because I'm not, I feel like I can pick up on signs, you know? Like, I felt like there was something, and I'm not cuckoo bird.
If he hung out with you, I genuinely feel like he was into you. Like, I don't feel like that was a cop-out. But for whatever reason, maybe he's like, it's... We're not. We don't live close to each other. I'm busy. It's all just right. Like whatever. But whatever. I'm still on the Tebow train. I'm over this guy. Saliva is out of sight, out of mind for me.
Saliva.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Slava.
Dr. Slava.
Sounds like saliva. To
I have
me.
A lot of people on the Tebow train, though. By the way,
we have so many connections. Like the connections we have are
it's
endless.
Crazy.
It's just
some.
Like
one
problem.
Of our listeners like hit me up. Was it like last week? And they were like, he's literally with JoJo's. Fiance. Who's a
Jordan?
Jordan.
Yeah. I'm all, are we saying his name? Or so, okay, aside from Jordan being with him, my brother-in-law was with him as well. And he texted me. He was like, I just listened to the podcast. And he was like, I wish I would have known I was just with him. And he sends me a picture of them two together. I'm like, wow, we have a lot of.
I'm telling you, he keeps popping up in my zeitgeist, and it's really weird. Is that what it's called? My zeitgeist?
I don't think you're using that word properly, but that's fine.
What is that? I've never even heard of that.
Isn't like your zeitgeist like your like...
I've never heard of a personal zeitgeist. Like the zeitgeist is what people are talking about right now. That app that Amy mentioned when she came in here is just bubbling up in the zeitgeist.
Okay. He keeps popping up in my...
Circle.
Yeah. Universe.
He keeps popping up in my universe.
Did you have fun at Jingle Ball?
I did have fun at Jingle Ball. Did you have fun at Jingle Ball?
I did. It was like different this year. I was more like, I was a little bit just roaming the halls, seeing what people were up to.
Knocking on Ed Sheeran's door?
No, I didn't do that.
Okay.
But I'm trying to think. Taylor was amazing in my opinion.
I thought so too.
I wish she would have sang like Delicate and some other things.
Thank you. I wish it was a little bit more of the new album than
it
like...
It was fun having like a throwback, and for like a full concert, I would have been excited about it. But for like with her new album out, I was like, what is she going to sing from the new album?
Me too.
And we were shaking it off and stuff.
So. I guess.
She brings the people what they want. That's what the people want. Yeah, Charlie Puth stole the whole show. He's the man.
He just, it's insane.
Why don't you date him? I'm just wondering again. Too young?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, we're just friends. I don't know. It's not like.
It's like a brother and sister.
Yeah.
He's a giant stud.
He really is. He really is. He did steal the show. Did you watch him?
Yeah, I missed that one.
Oh. That's a big bummer.
Honestly, I don't know what part of the show it was, but I was in the Forum Club and like this lady was walking around with these mini corn dogs. And egg rolls, and I was in there by myself, and I was just like snatching them. Like
our friend
right.
Gina will be thrilled that Becca sacrificed Charlie Puth for her appetizer.
Yeah, Gina, like send some to my house. Those are delicious. I was very content sitting by the space heater in Jillian's office watching
cold.
On the TV.
Can we talk about Phoebe?
Phoebe,
how's she doing?
So Phoebe went on her first outing. Last night, like public, we went to Nordstrom, and she was such a star. Like everyone stopped.
Do you put her in your purse, or like do you hold her?
I'm just holding her. Okay. She's 1 pound. You know, it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy to carry her around. But like so many people, a lot of people thought she was a cat. They're like, is this a cat, a kitten, or a puppy?
Somebody messaged me when I posted that video of her, and they were like, is that a hamster? I was like, no,
okay,
it's a dog.
Rude. She's a dog. But yeah, she was like such a celebrity and did so well. She's like so mild mannered and just like acts so calm. I'm like, man, if y'all could see her at home.
Are you sleeping through the nights now?
Well, through the nights, she slept for 7 hours the other night, which was pretty good. I felt good about it. I feel
like
we're moving
in
the right direction.
That's a solid amount of sleep.
But Caroline, we like alternate. We're literally like three moms alternating getting up with the child. And she woke up like 3 times last night, but I didn't. I slept through the night.
That's nice.
We got a Christmas tree last night.
It's a big step.
And I thought my ceilings were super, super high. So
they are.
Like,
they're super high.
Yeah. So my youngest sister, Hannah, who lives with me, she's like, I really want a big tree. And like, our ceilings are so high. So we look at this like 9 or 10 foot tree. I'm like, that's pretty tall. And then she somehow finds this 11 foot tree. And she's like, this one, like, look how full it is. It's so green. And I'm like, oh man, like, are my ceilings that tall? And
yeah,
so I
your ceilings thinking, like, are really tall.
I think they're that tall. So the guys come and deliver it, and the top is like bent because it's hitting the. So they had to cut like 2 inches off, which I don't know if that's bad for the tree, but whatever.
Oh,
we didn't have a choice.
That's not that bad, 2 inches.
Yeah, but it's literally, there's no room for a tree topper.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's large and it's beautiful and full, and it was really expensive for something that's going to die in a few
weeks. I know. Like, can you, how much are Christmas trees?
Well,
like hundreds of dollars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put about 200 bones down for that one. But I will say,
they're more expensive this year.
Are they?
Yeah. Because
of the fires and stuff?
No. Something that happened 10 years ago. What was
Nothing.
It?
The recession happened 10 years ago, and so farmers planted fewer trees, and now it's coming to fruition.
So not from the fire.
There was a shortage.
Not sure.
So.
Yeah.
Wow.
But they are really expensive this year.
Yeah, they were all very pricey. But I will say, you walk into my apartment, it smells like a Christmas tree.
Your room smells like a Christmas tree with that delicious
pine
scent.
I know. I like
scent.
My room, my home, to smell like a Christmas tree year round. So I cooked the other night.
You did?
Yeah.
I actually witnessed this.
Yeah. So I actually cooked just like one of my mom's recipes, but it gave me a lot of confidence to feel like I was, because no one died and everyone seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah. And you did it pretty quickly too.
I did do it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It was a pretty easy recipe. But I also, a few days before that, which I didn't tell you about when I was cooking, I cooked a HelloFresh meal.
You did?
Yeah. It was French onion burgers.
Wow.
So I kept true to who I am and what I like.
Okay.
And did burgers. But the chips, instead of having potato chips, they were kale chips.
Delicious.
Made
by you?
By me.
No way.
I cut them up and I just put them in the oven. Yeah. So, and I think for my parents, I'm going to get them like HelloFresh credits because they love it too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So basically what we all know about HelloFresh.
Also think it's so rude that you make kale chips and you don't tell me about it. Sounds like that's right up my alley.
Well, I think it's rude that you say you're going to come back over after you leave and you don't. And you don't even send a text saying you're not coming over. I'm just like, is she alive? What happened? Anyways, I'm trying to do HelloFresh right now. We'll get to that issue later on. Yeah, the robe came on. So HelloFresh, one of my favorite things about the times right now is that everything can be delivered to your door.
This is true.
And HelloFresh does it with all the ingredients you need for the meals that you're going to prepare. They're delivered in a way that if you have like meals that contain meat or anything that needs to be refrigerated, it comes in ice. So sustain. That's the word I was looking for. And it's just really easy. And they don't take long. It's easy. It's simple. And they have meals that I actually like. It's not just.
And it comes like portioned for you, right? Like you just basically pour the salt that they give you into the.
Exactly. Yeah, I think one of the hardest things I struggle with when I'm cooking is how much of anything to put in there.
Right.
Like, I try to be right by the book, and then when I watch my mom cook, she's just, like, throwing things in there. I'm like, how do you know if that's enough or not enough? Or,
right.
Yeah. So, the meals are creative, they're fun, they're delicious, they're nutritionally balanced, and the perfect portion, and sent directly to your door. Some of the meals they have for the holidays, they have meatloaf a la mom.
Yum.
So, like, meatloaf.
Like mom's meatloaf?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With roasted root vegetables and thyme gravy. They have pan-seared scallops with heirloom tomatoes, mashed potatoes, and Meyer lemon. And
they have, I
know, these are decadent meals. And then they have a pork tenderloin with green beans and rosemary potatoes. So just all things that I would eat on a regular basis. And for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter the promo code Becca. That's B-E-C-C-A. Feel confident in the kitchen. Everyone can do this. I promise you, if I can do it, you can do it, and so can everyone else. Save $30 on your first week, HelloFresh.com, and that's promo code Becca. Guys, guess who just walked in as we were doing our HelloFresh? Sharna.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
So good. The accent is so good. Do you remember last time you probably don't remember this, and I tried to forget it, but it seared into my memory for life. On KTLA, I interviewed you and Geraldo? Was it Geraldo?
Oh, Geraldo? No, I didn't dance with Geraldo. That was Editor.
Editor
dance with Geraldo.
Just kidding. So we've never even met.
Because I was about to be like, wait a second.
You were just wasted. Sharna was there when you stalked Lori Hernandez.
Oh my God. That is where I'm. Okay. It's blurry, but I do remember this.
If it's any consolation, I don't fully remember it, so you're good. It's like it never happened.
The only reason I remember anything from that night, I remember the last memory I have of that night actually is stalking Lori Hernandez and just telling her that I was proud of her for representing our country.
I feel like that was the first time she's ever heard that.
Yeah. She, and it was that feeling of someone trying to get away from me, you know, and I couldn't. I couldn't like redeem myself because I had had too much to drink. So
I mean, she's 16 and incredibly, at one level very grown, but also incredibly sheltered 16. So.
Wow, she was probably very overwhelmed by me.
Yeah, maybe
so
a little.
Yeah, I just went to the bathroom and then I laid on the floor and that was the end of that.
Was that at the festival?
Not this year, but last year.
The year, oh,
yeah,
right, right.
You know, the year. Yeah, tried to really rein in my,
You did
myself.
A good job this year.
Yeah, I was totally fine with this year. Didn't have any accomplices to encourage me to drink. First of all,
welcome.
This podcast, welcome. Thank you for scrubbing in.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
Our podcast, we talk a lot about dating. I am very single, very single. Tanya is single as well, but Tanya is like trying. I don't make a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. What's your relationship status?
Very single.
Very single.
Very single and married to my work and my career, to be honest. I forget to make time to meet someone or to even leave the opportunity for it because I just get so involved in the hustle and in love with what I do. And then all of a sudden I look up and I'm like, oh, wait. Oh, wait, I kind of need a human. This would be cool if I had a human.
I know, and that's the thing. You really have to make time for it. Like, you have to consciously make time and effort into even just dating. People are like, oh, it's just so easy. You get on the app. And I'm like, no, you like actually really have to dedicate time and effort into it.
See, but here's the thing with those apps. I have a really funny experience with those apps. I signed up on one and I was like, I'm going to do this. And then I matched with all these people. And then I was like, well, what do you say? Do you use an emoji? Do you not use an emoji? Do you just say hi? Or should I say more than that? Or is that saying too much? I don't know. And I overanalyzed everything. So I was like, you know what I'm going to do? Fine. I went and I got a bottle of wine and built up some liquid courage and then sat there and just started messaging away with people. And eventually it dies off anyway.
It's just
mindless conversation that has absolutely no substance to it other than people just trying to hook up.
That's why you have to take it. You have to take it to in real life quickly. You can't stay on the app too long. You got to like meet them really fast.
Oh, Stranger Danger though.
I know. I'm the same way. Wow.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. It gives me anxiety.
No, I'm with you. But they do say that you have to take it like fast because then it just gets like lost and then you're just bye.
I went on. You know, I tried the dating app thing right before I went on The Bachelor. I was like, that didn't work.
Was it Tinder?
It was Tinder.
Okay.
I went on, I think, 4 dates within like a few weeks. It was very rare for me because I hate dating. I think this is what scarred me, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, wow.
I went on like 4 consecutively bad dates and then got dumped twice on national television. So now I'm like, I'm done with this.
I'm not going to lie. That's tough. That's a little bit woof. Wow.
But I trying the dating apps, I did not like the small talk of it.
Yeah.
Like that, in any situation, I don't enjoy that. But doing it repeated, like on different dates with these strangers, and I felt like I was having to carry the conversation because I'm more, I think, sociable in the sense that I can at least fake it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want that. I want someone to kind of take the lead.
Yeah, it was interesting. There was any time where I would say too much, it's like you'd never hear back from the person.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, she's too much maintenance. Gotcha. Too many words. They probably got halfway through it and then bailed because someone else is like, hey, let's meet up.
Yeah.
And they straight away got to what they wanted. So no one really wants to hear what you have to say or learn about you. They're just trying to know when you're free.
Because I think a lot of it is chemistry, like person-to-person chemistry. So it's like you could have a really good chat with someone, then meet them and kind of be like, oh. So it's like, why just cut out all the like middleness and just get to the point?
Right.
I'm like picturing you writing this like long paragraph about where you're from.
Listen, I'm a talker, so you know.
And then
it all started back when
they're like, how's your day going? You're like, well, I woke up at 5, I hit the gym.
I'm not gonna lie, that might be me.
Yeah,
I just don't understand why I'm single.
Wait, though, I feel like you've had some. Like very good looking male partners in your career of Dancing with the Stars.
I have. I've had some incredible men that I got to dance with. All really wonderful, but I didn't really get that Robert and Kim, you know, forever after fairy tale that was so, so special. But you know, who knows? It might happen one day.
But I mean, I feel like when you're dancing with someone that, and y'all's dancing is like sexy. It's not, you know, like a hoedown, throwdown.
Right.
And
which can also be sexy. You know.
If you have the right moves. Not when I do it. But, I mean, it would be hard if, I guess if both, I'm assuming if one of you is in a relationship or you're both in a relationship, it's very easy to keep it all work-related. But if mm-hmm. you're a single girl and there's you're dancing, doing spending all this time with someone who's you're attracted to, and clearly on the show you have chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It'd be hard to just, especially if you're interested in dating someone, I guess.
To be honest, I haven't really had that moment where I looked and was like, oh, damn, I really want to
date you.
I really want to date you and I really want to try this. You do get to know people very quickly and very yeah. personally, and you share this incredible journey. But in all my years of Dancing with the Stars, what I've learned is it's a bubble. There is no other place in this world like that bubble that you will be in yeah. on Dancing with the Stars. And what you feel within that bubble, you may not necessarily feel when that bubble bursts at the end of the season. But what you can have is a beautiful friendship and right. and connection that you can keep. And if that lasts as something after the season, then discover it.
Yeah.
But I find for me, I don't know if I'm good enough to separate personal and professional, to be the boss of that guy and to
right, right.
to coach him every day and then to leave and go to dinner and be romantic with him and still not right. be pissed at him about his bachelor carters.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I might just, I don't know if I'm going to be able to separate the two. And so I just don't. And it doesn't yeah. mean I haven't been attracted to some of my partners. They've been gorgeous.
Well, of course.
You
yeah.
know, but
so here's my question. How tight are you with producers, and could you potentially be like, hey,
oh,
there's this guy that I really want to date. Could you make him my partner?
Oh, well, I mean, he would have to be like a valid celebrity. It can't well, just be like, hey, well, so yeah. my next door neighbor is
right.
super good.
No, of course. Of course. But if there was somebody like, I don't know, who you would have a celebrity crush or something.
I feel like you have a name that you want to say. Is there
no, 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 no. I'm saying for if it was for me, if I was on Dancing with the Stars, I'd be like, is there any way we could get Tim Tebow as my partner?
So, ah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Do you have somebody like that you could potentially put the seed in the producer's ear?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I think we always have conversations with them about who we think would be really great for them to get. And sometimes they're able to get them and sometimes not. And there have been moments in the past where if my partner has been single, they give me that little like, hey, maybe he's the one. Because everybody loves a good love story, right?
Yeah.
As of right now, that hasn't happened. There hasn't been the one. But I think I am really tight with the producers. We are all a really big family. And so they want to see me with someone too. It's like,
of
everyone's
course.
So ready to marry right. me off. It's like, yeah. oh, you're 32. You should probably hurry up. So everyone's on board.
But I do think it's funny because I honestly, in every aspect of my life or anything I do, I feel like there's always the question of like, are you dating anyone? Are you trying? Are you putting yourself out there? And mm-hmm. in my head, I'm like, I'm actually really content in my life right now. And I don't feel like it's something that I'm longing for. Like, I do feel like, Tanya, you like want it and you want it now. And so you actively trying is a necessary step
correct.
To make that happen.
Right. Like, I can't sit there and be like, yeah, I really want someone, but I'm just
going to sit on my couch.
Yeah.
That's what mm-hmm. I do. But I don't really, I'm not like, oh, I really want someone. I'm just right. kind of like, I'm very content being single right now
right.
and don't feel the pressure. But I start getting in my head, like, I do want kids
mm-hmm.
and I do want a family. So at what point do I have to start really thinking about it seriously?
Yeah. I mean, you do sort of hit that age where you wake up and you go, oh, that thing where they said time runs out. It's happening.
Yeah.
My mom told me to freeze my eggs when I turned 30.
Oh, don't even get me started on that. I have a girlfriend that's going through the process right now. And that's something that like I am constantly thinking about. But you know,
right.
they actually say that your eggs are still very good. Like you don't really have to retrieve them or freeze them until about 37.
True, but I also know.
But they say the younger the eggs, the better.
The better. I think for me, for now, I would like. I would freeze them in the sense that I'm just buying myself time. I kind of want to hold on to the fairy tale idea for a second.
Right.
I want to believe that the fairy tale is going to happen. So I would, yeah. But I think essentially I will do it. I think next time I go back to Australia, I'll do it because it's part of our healthcare system.
Wow.
It's,
wow.
Yeah, it's not, I don't have to pay for it. I just have to pay for storage every month. Whereas here it's like, what,
$30,000? Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's insane.
We do have an amazing healthcare system.
Yeah, I feel like y'all are all hot and you all have like just a good thing going over there.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I'm probably I'm probably going to do it. Who knows? When I go back.
Wait, so your mom at 30 told you, like...
Yes! Okay, so I, you know, I turned 30 and then I broke up from my long-term relationship, which was 5 years. And up to that point, I'd been a serial monogamist. And I was like, Mom, I need to be single for a second. I've forgotten who I am without being with another person. She's like, okay, well, sweetheart, I think you should freeze your egg. Like, oh gosh, that was a slap that I didn't think I was gonna get. Okay,
yeah, thanks, Mom.
So happy birthday, yeah. Freeze your
happy
eggs.
Happy birthday, happy 30th. Your eggs are dying.
Wait, we have to go back. I mean, I don't know if you want to discuss your 5-year relationship, but that's something I've never experienced. Tanya was in a long relationship,
Almost 4.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah.
So
that ending was just.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm sure you can relate.
It dragged out for a long time too, because you're so, even both of us knew it wasn't where we were supposed to be anymore, but you're so comfortable with it. And even though it's not good, it's what you're used to. And you just stick around for a year longer than you should.
Yeah. But I do feel like it gets to that. I mean, I was in a like way shorter relationship, and you get that to that point where you're like, I'm fine. Like, we're good, but. Is this the one, like, am I wasting his time? Am I wasting my time? Like, do I stick it out just to see if something changes? I can't imagine being with someone for that long and then trying to find, like, an ending place.
Yeah. I feel like when you're dating when you're younger, you're just dating more like you're, like kind of like that free falling, you know what I mean? Like, you're just, like, dating to just date.
Yeah.
And then there comes a point in an age where you're, like, dating to be married to somebody, you know, to be with the one. And so it's like, at what point when you realize that they're not, like, do you end it, you know?
Right. It's like you start to do your pros and cons list and try and weigh out of staying or leaving, and what is it that I'm going for? And and because your lives are so blended and you know each other's family and you have so many positive things in your life, but maybe you don't quite make each other as happy as you used to. And you think, and we as women do this all the time. Well, I'm fine with that.
Right.
We're so tough and so resilient that we end up just putting up with things that we shouldn't have to, because we sacrifice it for something else instead of saying, no, you know what? I want all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not making me happy. So I'm going to choose to leave. And it took me probably 18 months to come around to actually making that decision, because I loved him.
Yeah. Right.
But we just weren't the ones for each other. And so eventually, there is no right time to end it. There is no end point. It's just when you turn around and you finally say, this is not what I want anymore.
Right.
A lot of it, because I know a lot of my friends that are like in relationships that they don't necessarily know are their forever relationships, but they end up like marrying them because it's that time. And, you know, I think there's a lot of fear. There's a lot more fear of being alone than fear of being with the wrong person.
Absolutely.
That's so interesting, because my biggest fear is being with the wrong person.
Which is why you're single.
And happy.
But you're uncommon. I feel like you're not like the norm. Do you know what I mean? I feel like the majority of people, I think, are more scared of the fear of being alone trumps the fear of being
with someone that drives you crazy every single day.
True. Yeah. I agree with that.
So, What?
I don't know why I bother to hold up a sign if it's just going to stop everything anyway. When I
it wasn't awkward at all. It was pretty seamless transition.
That was a great transition on my part.
Yeah.
Ask her about the tour, and then we'll do a FabFitFun.
Oh.
Mark held up a sign and just said, tour FabFitFun.
Because it kicks off December 30th, which is just around the corner.
Just around the corner.
It is, because now we're in December.
Gosh, it really is. By the way, how are we in December of 2017? When did that happen?
Yeah.
Like, quickly. I don't know. I got a giant tree, though, so it officially feels like Christmas in my apartment.
Oh, that's exciting.
It's an 11-foot tree in my 11 and a half foot apartment.
Amazing.
Literally skimming the top. Do you enjoy the tours more than you do the show? Like, is there...
They are completely different experiences. Yeah.
Like choosing between children.
Yeah, it's kind of, in a sense. Like, how can you choose? But what is so different about them is the show, the entire show is not about me. It's about the person in front of me. And I design a journey for them. The dance is created for them. They're not the steps that I in my heart desires to do. It's what looks great for them and what feels great to tell their story. Whereas when we go on this tour, we get to create these pieces for us. I get to dance my butt off every day the way that I have trained to do my entire life. And it's like a... creative indulgence for me to be able to do the tour and to just dance for me. Yeah. Because that's not something that we get to do all the time. And essentially, I'm dancing with other professional dancers every time too. Right. So we get to do so much cool stuff that we don't necessarily get to do on the show unless it's like a minute 30 opening number.
Right, right.
This is, we get to have meetings with our creative director, and I've had a couple meetings this time and said, I want to do something like this. I want to tell this story. I want to play this character. I want to use this song. This is my vision. And we make it all happen. So,
oh, that's cool.
I love the creative process. I love the designing the dance as much as I love dancing the dance. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so this is where I get to explore that for me and sort of dive into that part of my talent and my craft. So I do love it. Yeah. Paired with the fact that I love being able to go across the country and meet some of our fans at mm-hmm. all of our meet and greets and really see how this show has affected them and changed their lives. Yeah. I could never have imagined that a dance show would inspire and affect people in such a positive, incredible way.
Yeah.
And yet I hear stories every day from these men and women that have gone through something tragic, and this has been something to inspire them to smile every week and mm-hmm. to escape from that, and or to bring a family together every Monday night. It has so many positive, beautiful things to it. And it warms my heart to hear that, because stuck in the studio at CBS lot right. in Los Angeles, you forget that.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just a huge perspective changer. And it makes me feel like I'm doing a little bit of good in the world with what I have.
Yeah. I mean, I went to a live show this year, and I've been before when Niall DeMarco was on.
Oh, yeah.
The show.
I love Niall.
He's amazing. And I went this year, and I forgot. It's just so fun. I mean, the energy in that suit, people are so excited. And then watching it on TV, I mm-hmm. watched The Most Memorable Year. Mm-hmm. I was full-blown sobbing. Like, not even just, like, tears.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I was like Jordan Fisher's story, mm-hmm. I was like,
yeah.
Okay, I can't handle. I'm tearing up just thinking about it. But it is true. Like, what y'all do. You know, being from The Bachelor, I don't have a lot of those moments where I feel like I'm inspiring anyone.
Like, it's different, know? Though. You're relatable. People, you're dating. Like, you know, you're not, like,
I'm not
changing lives. But
and when people tell me they watch it as a family, I'm like, oh, good.
Really?
So, I mean, I can't really relate to that part. But I do think it's really cool that, like, even from someone who has been to the show and watched and, like, knows people on the show, it still is. I watch it and I'm like, wow, this is amazing that y'all are the ones who choreograph every dance.
Mm-hmm.
Especially?
Especially?
No, yeah. I think especially. Especially for the person you're working with.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you basically are telling a story through dance. Essentially,
yeah.
The whole season.
And that's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
When I've been really lucky to have some partners with incredible stories. Mm-hmm. Noah Galloway was one of them, even mm-hmm. James Hinchcliffe and his story. There's been a lot of people that have come through something very tragic and life-changing. And to be able to tell that story, my favorite thing about dance and art is when there is truth to it and you see it come yeah. from a person's soul. And someone like Noah Galloway that had lost his left arm and his left leg whilst away in Iraq, and coming back and knowing what he went through to be able to accept the man that he is, and coming up with the idea of him seeing his reflection in a mirror as a whole body,
mm-hmm.
and then it pulling away and him finally seeing himself as he is today. And the way that I explained it to him, and then seeing this grown man cry in front of me, that fills me with so much joy, because I love being able to connect to people
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and give them the same journey that I had. And that is learning about myself through dance and using it as it's a form of therapy. It's so cathartic to get out there and express yourself and move your body and share emotion. You release it all into the world and you end up letting it go forth. And Noah had that. Certainly James Hinchcliffe had that. He said that I finished his story for him from when he flatlined and didn't know what happened. And it's just they're probably my greatest triumphs,
yeah.
I would say, throughout the whole, my 10 seasons I've been doing it now. Those moments are like my mirable.
Yeah.
It's
I think
so
like
crazy.
Being able to, I think one of the things that connects people to music so much is like, you know, musicians are like singing a universal truth that people can connect to. So it's like making people feel not alone. So people that are watching that mm-hmm. are going through those same life situations, they don't feel as alone because they're like watching somebody else not only overcome mm-hmm. what they've gone through, but end up on top.
Exactly.
So I think it's, yeah, beautiful.
I think
yeah.
that's what is so special about the show, and that's why it has lasted 25 seasons.
Yeah.
I think it's why it could end up lasting 25 more. There is no show like it mm-hmm. where you get to watch people truly bare their soul, share their experiences with so much truth, and watch them grow.
Yeah.
They're no longer a celebrity in your eyes when right. you watch them. They're a human being that you can relate to. And I think that is really what inspires so many people.
Yeah. I mean, it really is amazing. And it's really cool that Dancing with the Stars has made it anyone from any walk of life
mm-hmm.
has been able to be on that show. And any person I've talked to or heard about has said it's been the most memorable, life-changing experience mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. their life. And I think that says a lot because y'all work really hard. It's not like an easy...
Gosh, no. No one can ever prepare you for how hard that job is. Even Derek Fisher last season was like, he spoke to a lot of his friends or the sports guys that have done the show, and he said nothing could have prepared him for what it takes to do this, to physically do it, to mentally do it, to emotionally do it. You can't prep your life.
Yeah.
Everything is consumed by Dancing with the Stars, and you don't realize that until you're in the thick of it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And just side note, when you're touring the country, do mm-hmm. you tour on like a tour bus?
Yes.
Oh, that's everything.
It's a lot of things.
Tanya like really embraces those things in life a lot of people would be like, oh, it could be better.
I know it's not ideal. Everyone's like, I'd love to fly everywhere, but I think the tour bus life is so cool.
Flying is way more difficult,
right?
Because you have to get to the airport and then you wait
lines,
and then you get on the
plane.
It's awful. Yeah. You have to worry about how much your luggage lays, by the way. Wow. I'll just have another sip of coffee. Excuse me. See how much your luggage weighs. Whereas with a tour bus, you just put that stuff on there and you keep it moving.
Yeah.
But I will never forget my first tour because we only had two buses and so many people on the buses.
How many in each bus?
I believe it was 8 on each bus at that point because we had...
It's a lot.
It was a lot. But now it's only 5 for this one. We have 3 different buses, but we're moving up in the world.
Yeah, wow.
But, but that first bus, I got there and I was like, this is going to be so amazing. I'm so excited. And then I looked at my bunk.
Yeah.
And I nearly died. It was like I had to tuck and roll to get into that thing. And I couldn't sit up in it. It was a coffin.
Right.
And then for the first week and a half, 2 weeks of the tour, when I'm sleeping, I would have these nightmares. I was on a plane going down because the bumps in the road felt
right.
like turbulence.
Oh.
So I would have nightmares every night that I was going down the plane. And of course, I'd sit up in the middle of the night and smash
head.
My head on the top of my bunk.
There's so many like little things that I feel like people don't like. Also how, I don't know if you guys have a shower on your bus, but there's usually one shower for like 8 people. So the majority of people like to shower before they get on the bus. So you're showering in like venues and it's just like such a... You feel like such a, I don't know how to explain it. It's just
like a gypsy. You honestly feel like a gypsy. I like have to pack a day bag for my clothes. But oddly, the time after the show for all of the girls is our favorite time. It's like our chill time. We put on music or we put on TED Talks. We're all in our dressing rooms doing our face masks and, you know, like just girl stuff,
mm-hmm.
talking girl things. And we all shower in there, obviously, because no one wants to wait in line on that, that stupid tour bus shower. And just have a great time and get on the bus and just feel so rejuvenated just by having great energy around us and, you know, doing a great show. So honestly, one of my favorite things about being on tour is all the girl time
that
we get because we're so busy. We just don't get to make time for each other that. It's really cool.
Speaking of girl time, do you know what a FabFitFun box is?
I do. That was a good transition, that one.
Thank
I like that
you.
One.
I had to make up for the first time. Yeah.
But I do. I love FabFitFun. I'm actually a FabFitFun partner. And I just...
Wow. Weird. Wow. This is perfect then.
Okay.
Well, like, did you get the winter box already?
Yes.
It's so good.
It's so amazing. I love it.
Like, I would talk about this even if it wasn't like a sponsor. Like, it is so impressive how good their boxes. Like, each time I'm like, okay, it keeps getting better every mm-hmm. time I've gotten one.
Yeah, they're incredible. It's amazing what they put in that box for the amount of money that you spend, honestly. Every time I get it, I'm like, oh my God, it keeps going.
Have you
so much
used
more.
The jasmine spray for your bed?
No, I haven't yet. That was an eye roll right there. That's like, you love that jasmine spray.
She went to bed at 7:30 last night. So I think that's probably why.
I spray it on my bed every night. It's great.
I'm going to have to try it. One of my favorite things I've actually gotten from FabFitFun was from the Fall Box. It was one of the scarves.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wear that thing all the time. Yeah. It's amazing.
Well, I got the box and we got it here at the studio, and Tanya took like four things out of it. And it was maybe the whole, did you take the whole thing?
Because I had two of them. The spray.
You took the spray and then you had the...
Oh, the eye patches and the hand cream.
And she FaceTimes me and has the eye patches on. I didn't know she had taken them. I was like, oh, cool. So those were part of it that I didn't get.
But they're great.
Yeah.
I was FaceTiming you to tell you that they were really great.
Good. But as you said, the amount you get is, this winter box specifically is valued at over $300, and you only pay $49.99 each mm-hmm. season. And all the products are full size. Are you bringing out something?
The hand cream.
Oh, she has the hand cream with her in her bag.
Yeah.
So this is the...
It's so good.
This is the... is it Ahava? Have we figured out? Is it Ahava? Ahava?
I don't know.
I would think Ahava.
Yeah. It's the mineral hand cream. Tanya literally keeps it in her bag.
I do, because it's very moisturizing. Normally, like when you have other lotions, it's like water, but this one's like thick and just good.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I know. It smells really good too. Mm-hmm.
And then they have... I'm going to put some on. Mm-hmm. And then they have the... Point Studio Aloe Infused Socks, which I feel like I've seen everyone wearing, like the cozy socks. Mm-hmm. And then the BB Dakota Poncho. I've seen people posting that on their travel days.
Yes.
Which I think I might wear when I'm going home to, I'm going to Georgia in a cabin
when for are you Christmas. Leaving?
I leave the 23rd, but that's not the point. I'm just saying, like, I don't really have a ton of winter clothes.
Oh.
Well, like you should do. Definitely take the scarf from the full box and the poncho.
I have two things for sure.
Yeah, but this is another thing I get. I kind of have anxiety when she leaves for a long time. So I'm just preparing
myself. Oh, you do? Separation anxiety?
Yeah.
One of my dogs is like that. She just cries.
Tanya's very much like a puppy.
Oh, I just heard how that came out. I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. I retract that statement.
No, it's pretty accurate.
No, it's. I actually just got a new puppy, and she's 10 weeks old.
What type of dog?
She's a Pomeranian. Aww. And so she's really small, but she's very much needy towards me, and Tanya resembles her a lot.
If I can give you any advice, put that little thing in puppy training and get her over that anxiety, because it is a nightmare.
Good to know.
It's a nightmare. The separation anxiety in dogs is awful.
Becca's going to be like scheduling me an appointment.
For her or for Phoebe? My dog? Phoebe. Oh.
No, for your dog.
I thought we were talking about Tanya for a second.
You looked at me like... Oh, put her all in right. training.
I'm taking her to Petco right after this.
Sorry, Tanya.
Me and Phoebe could probably use some therapy.
Yeah, y'all should go together.
Yeah.
I don't know. That might be bad. Anyways, back to FabFitFun.
Really. Tell me about the promo code.
Promo code is Becca, and all you have to do is go to FabFitFun.com and use code Becca. You'll get $10 off the winter box. Again, that's FabFitFun.com. And don't forget the promo code Becca.
I would like you to read the email from Rachel, because it's something I think that definitely Becca and Sharna can weigh in on. It's about leaving home, mm-hmm. going out in the world, away from your comfort zone. She was thinking about moving to California.
Oh, I like this.
I relate.
How long have you lived here? When did you move here?
I have been living here for nearly 7 years.
Okay.
But I left the country at 18. I moved to London when I was on my own at 18.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to read from Rachel. Hi, Becca and Tanya. And she'd probably say Sharna, but she didn't know you were going to be here.
I'm just not going to respond.
She said, my question is, if given the opportunity, should I move to California? I was born and raised in Chicago, but recently applied to grad school for occupational therapy. I've never lived on my own before, and I'm hesitant about moving to a new state and not knowing anyone. As scary and expensive as the move would be, I feel like this would be a great chance to not only pursue my career goals, but also to really get to know myself and enjoy a new adventure. You should also know that I may also have the option of staying home for grad school. Mm-hmm. So I'm stuck between staying home and saving money, or moving away and experiencing something different. Let me know what you guys think. I'd appreciate the feedback.
For me, just from the way that you wrote the message, it sounds like you want to experience something new and go on an adventure. You're like, I can either stay home and be safe, go to grad school, save money, mm-hmm. or you can go and try something new. I feel like, to be honest, you've already made your mind up or your heart already knows what it wants. I am a huge advocate for chasing your dreams. I don't think your dream is to just be safe and save money. So if you feel like there's something there for you to chase after that you really, really want, then I say muster up the courage and do it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree 100%. I think if we all just stayed safe, no one would go anywhere.
Right, exactly.
Because I think moving, I mean, I remember when I first moved out to California from Louisiana, I lived with my sister and my brother-in-law, and so there was that safety net of having them with me. And then when they moved home 4 years later, I either had the option of going with them and doing whatever they did next or staying on my own and making it work. And I chose to stay, and it was probably one of the better decisions I made as far as me growing as a person, because it would have been so safe and it probably would have been fun. I would have been happy, but as far as growing and learning more about myself, I don't know if I would have done much of that if I had just gone and with the safe option.
I mean, the beauty is too, if you move, that you can always move back home. You know, if you're really exactly. homesick and you really don't feel like it's working, you can always. And yes, of course, it's expensive and you'll probably have to eat the money to move, but you can always move home. Right. I never moved far from home. I'm from Orange County.
Right.
So I moved like 2 hours up the freeway.
Yeah, but you still left the safety of what you knew.
True.
And like the safety net of having your parents right there.
True.
If there's one thing that I can share with you, Rachel, it's that I left Australia at 18. I packed a suitcase and I moved to London on my own to chase my dance dreams. And what followed was two of the hardest years of my life, working three jobs to be able to afford to dance, sometimes choosing between food and having a dance and going to dance class. Wow. There were many, many times that I wanted to give up, but I knew what my dream was and I knew what I wanted to do and I kept chasing it. And because of, you know, unrelenting passion and striving for what I wanted, I refused to believe that I couldn't have it. Eventually, the universe provided. I could never have imagined that I would have ended up on television, that I would have ended up on Dancing with the Stars. Mm-hmm. I had no idea this could even be a dream for me. But within that time, I knew I had to stick out something really hard so I could build my character, so I could learn and I could grow as a human being to be ready for all these things that life had to offer me. No one's saying that it will be easy. I think it will be tough. Moving on your own is tough and doing things on your own is tough, but there are also really valuable life lessons that you need to go through if you want to do something great.
That's so true.
Yeah. It's crazy because my parents did the same thing. My mom moved to the United States there from Serbia mm-hmm. when she was 18 and moved, you know, from her parents. And I'm like, they did it because they wanted their kids to have a mm-hmm. life that they didn't have. And I'm like, that is so, like, major props to you. Like, because I could not even imagine at 18. Like, I moved away to Arizona when I was 18 and that was hard. And that was just a state over for college. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're putting yourself through rent and food and chasing your dream. I think that's just so, like, I mean, I have so much respect for you. Because I even tell my parents that all the time. I'm like, I don't even know how to even, where to begin. So much respect.
It's amazing what we're capable of as human beings when you put your mind to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we can all do that. Especially when, I mean, their passion was you guys, mm-hmm. you know, and building a life for you. You got to find what that passion is that drives you and just chase it.
Yeah, you were the perfect person to have to answer that question.
Totally.
Seriously, though, like, it sounds like what her dream is to do something on her own, but there's like the fear of, you know, it not working. Mm-hmm. And if it, you know, like Tanya said, Chicago's not going anywhere.
Right.
Like, that's going to be there.
Exactly.
And so you have to take the chance, because if you don't, then you'll never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. This is from Meg. Hi, Becca. I'm such a huge fan of yours, and I love you and Tanya together on the podcast. I share the same hopes as you for myself about waiting until marriage to sleep with someone. Do you have any advice on how you navigate these conversations with the men you date? How do you handle situations where the waiting feels tough? For reference, I'm 22. Okay, so This is how I feel about this subject. If your desire and what you want is to wait for someone until marriage, then you do it. It's just like anything else. If you have the desire to do something and there's an obstacle that comes and it's hard, do you go back on what you believe in the first place, or do you cave into it? It's just like anything in life. It's a decision you make, and if you want to stick to it, you stick to it. And when it comes to having conversations,
that's what I find for me being the trickiest thing that I've like, I, you know, I'm not a virgin, but I've recently decided to recommit to waiting to marriage. Mm-hmm. And so this is new territory for me. I've never, you know what I mean? Like it's, I've never had to have that conversation with a guy before. And I'm kind of trying to prepare myself for when that conversation does happen. Like at what point do you tell them? At what, you know what I mean? Like at what point? And I'm sure it's going to scare some guys away.
I just think that it's something that, I guess it could be a deal breaker for guys easily. I think for a lot of people it would be a deal breaker because I think that's very important in relationships. Although I do find that you can have, and there are such blurred lines of what is sex. Like, is that whatever's beyond kissing? What, like, you know, there's so many different.
Like, which base are we talking
about? Yeah,
yeah.
Right. It's like some people consider anything past, like, making out sex, but I guess it's that those are the blurred lines, but you can find that you have chemistry with someone without having to do that. And I also think, you know, as times change and some things happen, maybe sex isn't the main focus of a relationship. And what do you have that's deeper than that, that's beyond what the sexual chemistry is? Like, what's the emotional chemistry? What is the connection you have with your minds and your heart? And so I don't know, sometimes I've always wondered these deal breakers. It's like, well, did you not have anything beyond that?
Right. Well, and I'm looking because she says, for reference, I'm 22. And when I was 22, I was just like doing it like nothing. You know what I mean? Like, and then it sounds like so gross, but like I was just, it wasn't really special to me. You know what I mean? Like it was, and I'm sad that I didn't value it as much as I do now. You know, it's like you're giving yourself to somebody. And I feel like at 22, that's probably a lot harder to navigate a conversation with a 22-year-old guy who, you know what I mean, not really mature.
22-year-old men are basically 16, let's be
totally. So I'm feeling like for Meg, it's probably a really hard conversation to navigate because these young guys, that's all they are really wanting, you know? So how do you explain to them the importance of, like, delayed gratification and, you know, wanting it for something bigger, you know, waiting for something bigger than yourself, you know? I think that's probably a really hard conversation to have at 22.
I think maybe, Maggie, you just stop considering how they hear it and how they feel about it and just honor what you want and what you feel. Because at the end of the day, some people are going to accept it and some people aren't. It doesn't matter how you deliver it. They're either on board or they're not. But as someone that hasn't waited for marriage, and I have been I have had sex with my boyfriends. What I can tell you is that it makes it very complicated, and you can get caught up in lust and things get fuzzy and you don't really get to know each other in the first place, and then all the excitement of the sex goes away and then you're left with this personality that you don't even really know. And then you start back from square one, but the chemistry's gone. It can mess a lot of things up. I think it's beautiful that you want to wait. I think you should honor that for you, and the right person will honor your feelings and share the same ideals as you. Don't worry about how other people hear it, girl. This is something that you want, and you hold on to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so true.
It is. Somebody kind of explained it to me a while ago when they were dating with, they had two kids. And they were saying it's really hard to date with two kids as a single mom because, you know, the guy's kind of, and I was like, you know, there's, how do you, it's how you approach it. You know, it's like, I have the, you know, instead of being like, I have two kids.
Like, don't apologize for it.
It's like saying, I have the two most amazing kids, and he has dimples just like you. They're so cute. You know what I mean? Like, it's all about how you approach it. And I think a lot of times people kind of wear being a virgin as like a burden or like a, something like, you know, like, oh, I'm waiting till marriage, but it's like you should, something that you should be proud of and something that you, you know, I think it's the way that you deliver it also, you know, like it's not. Yeah.
Well, and I think it's something, I mean, the way I have always explained it when I had the conversation, it's like, I feel like in a lot of relationships I've given, or just people I've dated, I've given to a certain extent, given myself to them. And I wanted that one part to be for my husband, you know, like so that when it happened, it's like, I waited for you for this moment.
Right.
And I think that that's like a very powerful thing to hold on to. And I don't think it's something that should be, I don't know why it's like this embarrassing thing mm-hmm. that's looked down upon, because right. we live in such a sexualized world, and that's so important apparently to everybody. And I do think it's important. I know it's a part of relationships, but I don't think if you make that decision, I think it should be something that's owned and not something that you feel like you have to cower down to or be embarrassed about.
Right.
I agree with you both so much. And I think Tanya made such an important point that I've never thought about before. I don't drink. I've never had any alcohol. And once in a blue moon, I get a little nervous about telling someone new because I think they'll think I'm not fun or I'm like a stick in the mud.
Right.
But for the most part, it is what it is. So I almost think embracing whatever it is mm-hmm. as
own it.
It is what it is. Right. It's not mm-hmm. a bad thing. It's not
Don't
even
apologize.
A good thing. It's just what
right.
it is.
Yeah.
I have blue eyes and I'm waiting till marriage. See you later. Yeah.
Right. 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 Totally.
Exactly. There you go. There you go, Maggie. Sage your eye color and let them know.
Or brown eyes if you have brown eyes. Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever color eyes you have, Maggie. Okay, so I started my Christmas shopping, and as I've said before, the hardest people for me to shop for are the guys in my life, like my dad, my brother-in-law. That about sums up the guys in my life.
Same.
Is there one more that I'm missing? No, that's it. And I realized, I feel like it's something that's universal. I feel like it's a thing for a lot of girls that it's difficult to shop for guys. Mm-hmm. And so that's where mancrates.com comes in. And it's the surest way to give a guy a gift that he'll actually love.
Right.
Because they're personalized.
Very cool.
Have you seen this?
No, I've heard of Mancrates, but I haven't seen them.
They are so amazing. They sent me one. So it's not just for guys. It's for girls too. But it's really great gifts for guys that you don't think of. But they sent me a personalized Mancrate. And it had personalized beer glasses in it with, like, beer snacks and coasters that were, like, personalized with my name on them.
Think about, like, the guy in your life that's obsessed with, like, golf or beer or, like, just,
or
like,
grilling.
And then they get literally a giant box with, like, those things with their name on it.
Very cool.
It is pretty cool.
With a crowbar that they have to, like, break into. So it's not like you just get the scissors and cut the tape open. Like, it's a wooden box and the guy has to like bust into it.
Oh, I thought you meant there was a crowbar in it. I was like, that's interesting. What's that for?
No, the crowbar is for you to get into.
Got it. That makes sense.
You know, like, guys like to do like just break stuff.
I was like, breaking things? What is this for? Rubbing cars.
No, it'll entertain them for hours. I mean, just minutes. But for our guys, last week, hours. But yeah. But we actually got an email from Shannon in Virginia. And she said, just wanted to let you know that I used Mancrates as a wedding present for my husband earlier this year. And it was awesome. I totally knocked it out of the park with it. And he loved it.
That's awesome.
I know. So I'm telling you, and I had a few tweets saying that people ordered Mancrates. So I feel like I'm trying to get the word out there for real because it's such a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
I wish I had come up with it, but I didn't, unfortunately.
I'm literally getting the beer one for my brother-in-law.
Well, does he listen to this?
No.
Okay. Why? He's not a subscriber.
My mom subscribes enough of my family. Just let my, you know, my brother-in-law likes like beer and like football.
Not girl talk. So Mancrates offers over 100 hand-curated gift collections for every type of guy. They have the whiskey appreciation crate with a personalized decanter and glasses for his favorite drink, or they have the grill master crate with a brass knuckle meat tenderizer and a cast iron smoker box.
So good.
It's so good. Just go to Mancrates.
Like fun. Yeah. Sounds like fun.
Yeah. I would be so excited. Like, when I get a gift for a guy, someone in my family, I'm going to be so excited to watch them. First of all, try to open it. That's going to be entertaining. And then, like, to see if they're impressed that I know them so well.
Because, like, you can only get someone that likes beer so much. You know what I mean? Without, like, I'm just going to get him 6 packs of beer all the time. Like, no, this is cool because it's going to have his name on it.
Just go to mancrates.com, pick your man's crate, and choose the delivery date. Such a good gift. They have thousands of 5-star reviews, and every Mancrate comes with 100% satisfaction guarantee, which we really like here at Scrubbing In.
We do.
Go to mancrates.com/Becca to get 5% off your order. That's 5% off at mancrates.com/Becca. One more time, mancrates.com/Becca. Becca. All right. So last week on the podcast, Tony kept, we were trying to say, like, the girl make the first move, right? Put yourself out there, make the first move.
Yeah.
And Tony kept trying to use this reference of putting a handkerchief down and the guy picking it.
Basically, what you're doing is you're just dropping the handkerchief so that the guy can pick it up if he wants.
Not so a literal. This is not a literal handkerchief.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm following. I get it.
Yeah. So like he knows you're interested.
Yes.
Yeah. It was a thing in the olden days that they actually did. That's why it's a metaphor.
Oh, right. I knew that.
Yes. Just own it. Go with it.
Yeah. I totally knew that. Yeah. So I just did it. I was like, you know what? Just let the guy know you're interested. Drop the handkerchief, and if he picks it up, great. If he leaves it on the floor, it's fine. Happens to the best of us.
Okay.
And that's what happened to me.
That's what happened to you. How did it go? He didn't get it.
Please enjoy this Verizon ring.
One of these in a long time.
Hello?
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 Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. This is Becca and Tanya. Did you know that?
Yes.
And guess who else we have in here?
Oh, my God. Who?
We have Sharna from Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, my God.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hi.
So we really enjoyed your tweet about dropping your handkerchief.
Yeah, and we want to hear your success story because mine didn't turn out so successful.
Well, I work at an animal hospital, and I liked one of the guys here. So I was like, oh, you know, what's the perfect way, you know, ask him out on a date kind of thing. So I said, hey, maybe one day after work we could go and walk our dogs together. And then... The next day, he was like, oh, bring your dog in and let's go for a walk. So that's what we did.
Wow. So. You had a real, an instant success.
Yeah.
Story.
So she's also she just but drop
like,
it a
the only
little
thing
bit.
I realized, though, is like we work together. So, you know, he talked about work a lot. But I mean, other than that, you know.
Wait, did he know it? Did he know it was a date?
I think so. I mean, I hope so.
I mean, sometimes we got to paint it for him. You know what I mean? Sometimes we got to be real obvious about that handkerchief that we're dropping.
Yeah. Well, I've never been on a date before, so I was like, you know, I'm newer to the dating scene, so.
Oh, so this was like your first time to really put yourself out there, and you had a pretty good, I would say, success rate now, right?
Because I have a problem because I'm so nice to people and they're like, take advantage of it. So I always get like, in the friend zone all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, sometimes because you're going to meet the one guy who's the right one and all these friend zones will be worth it. You just have a bunch of good guy friends.
But look how much game you got, though. Like the first time you put yourself out there.
I listen to you guys' podcast all the time and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, because I never dated before and never had a boyfriend. And I'm always like complaining like, oh, maybe it's how I look. But then I listen to your guys' podcast. I'm like, Becca and Tanya are the most beautiful girls in the world. And they don't even, you know, they have a hard time. So it's not me, you know.
So sweet.
No, it's not you. And it's not anything about that. It's just how we approach situations. Yeah. And it also just has to do with the right the right person, the right time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, look at you. Keep going, girl.
Yeah. We're
have you gone out with him again?
I hope so. I mean, I see him around at work all the time. So hopefully. I mean, we bond with our dogs, so.
Okay.
So is he someone that you see on a, do you train dogs by any chance? I have a Tanya and I have a Phoebe.
Yes. Whenever you have questions, just let me know.
Oh, this is great. Yeah, I'll take you up on this.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
So I noticed because I like meet these celebrities all the time and I try to find a guy like that. Is that normal? Like recently I met Ben Higgins and he was like the sweetest guy ever and I liked how he acted. And I'm like, I'm looking for a guy like that. Like, you know, that goes to church and like a gentleman.
I think that's normal.
I mean, if you're looking for someone like Ben Higgins, that's definitely like if that's what you're into, then I say that would be very normal. Yeah. But if you're looking for someone like who's someone you don't want to mimic for a relationship, for a boyfriend.
I can't think,
of anyone. I don't want to call anyone out.
Yeah,
either.
Like
Matt Lauer.
Yeah, you don't want a Matt Lauer.
There you go.
You know what I do is I make vision boards. So if you like yourself a Ben Higgins, I'd say find a little picture of him in a magazine, cut it up, and put it on your vision board.
That is so true. Tanya has who's on your vision board right now?
Tim Tebow and Patrick Dempsey.
Oh, Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah, we're scrubbing in is the Grey's Anatomy reference.
Next dreamy.
Could you imagine a combo?
Because of you guys.
Wait, you started watching because of us?
Yeah, I tweet you guys all the time. Tanya actually tweeted me about Christian music, which I love.
Oh, yeah, you're asking for some recommendations.
Yes, you guys are awesome. So.
Well, we're so glad we called you.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I'm so excited. I always talk to people at my work about my podcast, and they'll be like, what did Becca and Tanya say today? And we'll have discussions about it.
What great advice are they throwing out there for you?
Well, you know what
they
say.
The guys get into it, too. Oh. Like, the guys love it.
Yay.
So you guys are a hit.
Thank y'all so much for listening. We love it.
Those who can't
date. Thank you.
Talk about it.
Well,
thanks, Jessica.
Thank you. And you guys look gorgeous at the fest this weekend.
Oh, you're so cute. Oh, we're going to call you every day just for some encouragement.
Yeah, I know, right?
Put her on our favorites. Call on.
All right. Whatever. Well, have a good one. We can't wait to hear. We're gonna get some updates on this dog walking.
Keep dropping those handkerchiefs.
I will. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was so nice.
Yeah, that was so nice.
She was really sweet.
Yeah.
I wanted
to date more.
I know. We should just make sure she's going on a date every week
check
something.
In. Yeah, I kind of want her to drop her handkerchiefs outside of the workplace, but I'm gonna let that slide.
Well, maybe she should be like, "Hey, let's walk the dogs, but have a picnic."
Yeah, you know what I mean? So up the ante next time,
or let's go see a dog movie.
Like the movie. Why don't you come over and we watch I Love Dogs?
Yeah. I'll make us some dinner. I have some candles.
Yeah. Maybe it'll don't be put great. That out
handkerchiefs
there.
All over the place.
One for you, one for you.
I have to say, though, I'm proud for someone who's never been on a date that she made the move like that.
Yeah, totally. That's amazing.
I'm proud of her. Like, as she works her confidence up, she'll get out of the workplace.
Me too.
Got to keep it there now.
Proud parents. How old was she? We don't know. We'll figure that out next week.
Wait, did you just let us know that you love Grey's Anatomy?
It is my guilty pleasure. I am obsessed with it.
The fact that we didn't start with this is mind-boggling.
I'm devastated that it's on hiatus right now. Like,
devastated.
It hurts my soul.
January 18th, hello.
Did you enjoy? Okay, first of all, do you feel like this season's lost a little bit of luster that it once had?
I do a little bit. I mean, I love it. I still tune into it. I still am anxious to get to that episode every week. But something about it doesn't pull at my heartstrings as much as it has in past seasons. Most episodes of Grey's Anatomy, I'll shed a little tear at the end of it.
Exactly.
Whereas for some reason, this season, I don't seem to have that as much.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, we've talked. There's not a lot of romances to be invested in.
Right.
The love story's not there. They've tried to make it a little more heavy on the comedy side, which isn't really a Grey's thing.
And we're not invested in any of them. Owen, blah, Amelia, blah, right. Maggie, blah.
I could be invested in Meredith and Briggs getting together, but they're
he's gone.
Spoiler alert. Whoops.
Anyone who's still watching.
Yeah, people are still catching up these days. Ma'am, we could have really talked about that for a long time.
I know, but you know what? We could give her the honors at the end of the show.
You're right.
Yeah, we'll give her the honors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've earned that. Excellent. What have I earned?
You'll know soon.
You'll know.
Okay.
Don't get too excited.
Very soon.
Okay, so tell us, last minute, when does the tour start?
Yeah, if people want to watch you, where can they buy tickets? Where can they go?
So the very first show of the tour is going to be the 30th of December, right before New Year's Eve. It is going to be amazing. We have both Frankie Muniz and Jordan Fisher on tour with us. It is the first time we'll really have two celebrities with us for the whole tour. And they're so, so freaking awesome. They were just so good the whole season. So they're going to be great. We have an awesome cast with us too. And you know what? Every tour that we've done gets better and better. the set gets better, the music gets better, the creativity. I mean, everything is just going to be epic. And from what I hear, it's going to be, again, better than the rest. Everybody can buy tickets at dwtstour.com. They can also go to my website, shanaburgess.com, and I have links to all the cities and stuff there. I will be at every show. I'm not scheduled to miss any of them. I know a lot of people have been asking, so I'm really excited. There's meet and greet tickets as well, which is a really cool way to get to meet some of us.
Yeah, and you guys want to meet her because she's awesome.
I know.
I love you guys.
She's best.
But yeah, do it. Buy your tickets and come out and see us and come hang and get in out of that cold over winter and have a good time for a couple hours.
Yeah. So fun.
So fun.
I didn't realize y'all were starting so soon.
Soon. Like, I start rehearsals in a week.
Wow.
Yeah. We should go to the LA show.
I was going to say, when is that?
The LA show is our very last show, and I believe it is at the end of March.
Okay.
March 18th.
March 8th. There we go.
No, Mark is still on top of it.
Totally.
Next week, we're going to do some more Ask a Guy questions because we didn't do that today.
And I don't know if you remember, but we had a wager last week and you lost the bet and we didn't get around to that today.
Shoot. So we're going to have to put that off another week.
It's fine. I got some really good recommendations.
That's fine. You have another week to get some more.
Yeah.
I need to know what this is about. I'm going to have to tune in next week.
Yeah.
I'll just knock on the door and be like, I'm back. Are we doing it again?
Sure. Come on.
I need to know the thing. Tell me the thing.
You'll know the thing. It'll be something we talk about.
Yeah.
If you have any questions, suggestions, comments, or ideas, you can email us at scrubbingin@iheartmedia.com.
Yes. We get some really good emails, by the way.
Really great emails.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, so we should just set it up for Sharna at the end of every episode.
At the end of every
episode?
Yeah, episode of our podcast. Yeah. We call Time of Death a la Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. So, like, whenever we finish,
like the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
Ah, do I have to do anything leading up or just say Time of Death is?
It's Time of Death. Yeah.
But there's something we're going to intro you. Do we have that?
Oh.
Time of Death?
Time of Death, 1:38 p.m.
Isn't that so good? Wait, that was so fun.
Thank you, guys.